did stood out like a toolie at school.
I'm here for the wrestling.
Yeah, the hammer throw, mate. You got the hammer throw.
Well, you're a toolie.
Roman Greco, I said. And they said, no, you're even too fat for that.
This is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Limo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
Oh, the boys are back for The Bump this week. Since we last joined you, of course, Jars made the big prediction. Port Adelaide would not lose a game this season.
Oh, yeah.
I think they have lost a game. We'll ask Jars about that in just a moment because he's made another prediction.
Oh, no.
He's asking another question. If Tom Rockliffe doesn't get picked this week, is that the end of his career? He had 41 touches. 41 touches in the SNFL last
it's
week.
It's round five.
And Jars at round five is asking the question, is it the end? He's also still on Jars. He's had plenty to say. Alir is a lock for all Australian centre-half back. We'll get to that.
He didn't need Kane Corns just saying things for headlines.
Yeah, I think he...
Speaking
well, Kane
of Kane,
said that.
Speaking of Kane, he's had a whack at you,
Rupert. Giving you a clip, Rupert.
So we'll get to that as well.
I'd hardly call it
it's
a whack.
It's about time too.
I'd hardly call it a whack.
You deserve
to see him go toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
You and Kane.
Wouldn't last long. Yeah. Would it, buddy?
It's
like
abuse.
Gallon up against that. Who did Gallon fight? That
that's
fella?
Tonight.
Yeah, that's the weight. Yeah.
Lucas Brown.
Lucas.
Same weight, different differential.
Same
and the other one, Nathan Buckley.
Oh, yeah.
Where's he at?
Right.
Is he finished?
Okay.
So right.
Plenty to get through.
Plenty to talk about. I want to start with Port Adelaide, boys. Love my side, love
you
my
do.
Club, and I think, as everyone was saying at the start of the season, we are one of the premiership favourites, but the West Coast game left me just scratching my head a little bit. Are we good enough to take on the big body clubs like Richmond and West Coast Eagles when it comes to the crunch, Roo?
Well, you've beaten Richmond, so you've done that. Mm. West Coast Eagles, you got a little reminder that it's not all sort of beer and Skittles on the, you have to rock up and you have to play your best footy. I think we spoke about West Coast before that game. They got three good tools, Dits, and thought that might test the defence out a little bit. But that's you want those little
Porter
reminders.
Got three good defenders.
Yeah, but they got found
they got
out by
they
that.
Got
in the,
found
in
out
the weeks
in the midfield.
Prior to that, too, though, Jazz.
Yeah, but he got found out by a genuine ruckman who got his hands on the ball first and gave the Eagles midfielder first use of the cod.
They did get touched up in the midfield.
They Mate, did. Fix that up and you'll be okay. And Big Chuck is due for a big game, Dits. Is that fair? Is your key forward?
God, you're aggressive.
No, I'm not aggressive.
You
I
are aggressive.
Chuck.
You've come out swinging.
Love Chuck.
No, Chuck.
How do you rate his 2 weeks?
No, he hasn't played well yet.
2 weeks
at least
in a row.
You're not a one-trick pony, though, like you were last year.
Yeah.
At least they've got other George avenues to go.
Marshall being important.
Yeah. The reason I started with Port Adelaide in this vein today, I wasn't all that excited by their performance against Carlton. They led by 50-odd points. Mm. It ended up being 28
you
points.
You had injuries.
You've got to be... Yeah, no, they were sore. Yep.
You had blokes out there just standing out there to play there.
Couldn't move.
Mm.
Who else? There's another Corky. I mean, Rose, you had
Houston,
Corky from the week before.
What were you looking for, Dits, against Carlton?
Beat them by 10.
So that's what that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think you ran out of legs. That was all. I put it down there.
Yeah.
That was an even money game. You realise?
Yeah.
Yeah. But those odds were wrong.
They were wrong.
They were
Don't
wrong.
Worry, I took advantage of that.
Oh,
really.
My mum might have. I don't know. But I didn't like that. I thought Port. You've got to be happy to get the job done. Geez, you're getting
fussy. Away from home.
I sit on the boundary line. Port games doing the boundary.
You do,
line. Port
text
supporters
are fussy.
No, they're ruthless. Which is good, and Dits will sit there and go, I'm proud to hear that. Against Essendon, they're up by about 50 points, and they just wanted blood. They wanted to go
more.
Further
that's ahead. Why they've won 32
you know
flags.
At least we hear the Port supporters. We hear the Port supporters, passionate.
Mm.
Adelaide supporters, very
Mate,
quiet.
Very lacklustre.
Well, they're a bit annoyed.
You're not going to be that loud and
yes, you
proud
do.
At the moment when they're
yes,
around, they hit, rebuilding.
They kick goals to hit the front. So for rebuilding, you can't make any noise.
Oh, were you at the Geelong game? Did you hear that? Or were you in Melbourne?
Oh, that was round one.
Yeah, they were loud.
12:40 on a Sunday is not healthy.
Well, that game, they weren't that impressive in the game. Mm. They were probably a little bit, just waiting for something. They were loud in the morning.
What it was.
They were loud in the first quarter when Tex to Langer.
In the morning.
Well, it was in the morning, 11:45
anyway,
when he kicked that goal.
Anyway, we were talking about Port Adelaide. Tell me about... Georgiartis.
Oh, mate, he's a five-year contract.
Five.
He's the most exciting young talent going around the competition.
Oh,
absolutely.
What?
Nah, he is. And you know what? He's still another 12 months away, Burn.
Yeah.
Absolutely exploding.
I don't know if he's
Can
most
he go through
exciting.
Midfield? Is he a midfielder?
Nah. Don't try and drag players that aren't midfielders into the midfield.
Because the Crows have got Big Fog in the midfield.
Throwing his weight around.
Oh.
Georgiadis is going to be a star. There's no doubt about that.
And he couldn't make this side earlier in the year.
Mm. Round one, he was left out. Mm. Well, I reckon they got it wrong, actually.
Yeah.
Don't mind going out on a limb with that.
Originally, I think Ken Hinckley said that he can't play Marshall and Georgiadis in the same team. Well, he obviously
if you're playing
that.
Laddams, yeah. If you're playing Laddams. So they've gone without a second ruckman now and just let Marshall do a little bit or Dixon do a bit more, which I think is good. Make Charlie earn his money.
Yep.
Now that you've got a few other options, it works.
All right, Jars, Tom Rockliffe. Our mate here at Triple M.
Yeah, we love him.
He has to play this week. He has to.
If he doesn't, there's obviously a knock on him from someone within the coaching
staff.
Why does
he have to play?
Well, mate, he's got form.
He's
one of their most creative midfielders in that midfield. But I'm like you, that if you play Rockcliffe and Ollie Wines together, you got too much. It's too slow around the midfield.
And William Drew, which I know that's
excellent. Now, I want to go back to your distinguished career.
Yes,
because I use you as the example all the time, the lightning rod that you were. There's you and there's Greg Williams, of course.
Yeah.
I don't believe in speed all the time.
No.
If you get the ball and your mind is thinking 3 seconds ahead of everyone else, fire out that handball because I'm going around in circles here, but my query with Port Adelaide against West Coast Eagles, Jars, is you can't have too many Carl Amons either. So we actually need toughness, hardness around the footy because West Coast Eagles exposed Port Adelaide badly.
You had Wines and Drew.
Didn't have Drew.
In West Coast Eagles, did he play that game?
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah.
You've had two of them generally. Last week you didn't have Drew or Rockcliffe, did
but
you?
But you had Wines and Rockcliffe last year playing in the same side and you still had some reasonable success. Rockcliffe is a very important player for me.
Well, why aren't they playing him?
Because of the depth.
He's only played that game on the weekend was his first full game.
If he's such a good player, you put him in, you gonzo.
For the whole year.
You're a coach, Rue. If he's that important, don't you put him in?
He'd be in my side.
Well, yeah, if he's as good as what Jars is talking.
Who goes out in the midfield then?
Well, Drew.
He is out already. He didn't play last week.
Yes,
he's out now. Yeah, he played.
Did he come in?
Against Carlton.
He played.
Rupert, he
played. In.
No, he was in the side. He was in the 22. He wasn't the sub.
That was Rocky's first full game, you realise.
And don't forget,
for the whole year.
But Dixon has to play this week, you're right.
Concussion.
Absolutely, has to be in that.
All right, Jars, the other thing you said before I get off Port Adelaide, Alir is already the lock for all Australian centre-half back.
Mate, the best intercept mark going around in the competition. The way that he anticipates the ball coming in, he's just reorganised that back six with Tom Jonas and Cleary. Mate, he's a standout for me at the moment. Centre-half back, lock him in All-Australian form.
Well, that's a big call.
Well, it's not a big call.
He's there at the moment.
McGovern. He's flying. The best intercept right up there. He'll be next to him. Back pocket. So for me, here, lock him in. And I'll say it again, Ditch. What's the date? The 21st of April. Alir, lock it in. All-Australian.
Right. Jeez, he's gone early.
He'll do his knee next week.
All right, let's focus on the Crows. Disappointing. Yeah. I thought they'd beat Fremantle at home.
Yeah, so did I.
It sort of felt like they were sort of going to. But
a lacklustre performance.
Yes,
very dull. No excitement. And
God,
you can't. Tex can't do it all on his own. Tex cannot do it all on his own. He started off like a firecracker.
Well, I don't think anyone's asking him to do it on his own.
Where's the teammates getting around him?
Well, what are you alluding to?
Oh, it's too much. There's too much reliance on Tex now.
Oh.
Slaney's out. That hurts. The engine room.
What about Frampton? How's he going?
What are you asking me for?
Well, you're the board member.
You run the joint.
You run the joint.
Every hard question we ask, Roo, we can't answer.
His form's been very average.
He's been goalless 4 weeks in a row.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think there needs to be a change.
Well,
I think Himmelberg
will play, so...
His form's in the sample's been pretty good, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's
going to keep it going.
Has there been a story there that we don't know about? How did Himmelberg end the season as your best forward?
I think what they've said is that Frampton had a good summer and was more competitive and they wanted to reward that. And he played well in round one, but they've been patient in giving him a go to get back to that form and probably hasn't done that, so...
I reckon you've been very, very harsh on Himmelberg.
Oh, I think because he was
a standout.
I mean the club.
I would have
had him in round one.
Himmelberg.
But
there'd be other clubs chasing him too now, the way that he's been treated.
Which
down
clubs?
There. Well, there'd be other clubs down there.
Mm.
I'd be North Melbourne would like a Himmelberg lurking around the forward line.
North Melbourne would like you.
They got no forwards.
But yes.
They got no plus.
So Fogarty in the midfield, I don't know about.
I'm not sold on that yet, but... full marks for creativity and trying something different, but he's definitely a forward.
Yep.
No, I agree.
He used to. But you can't have Lynch. You can't have Himmelberg. You can't have Tex. You can't have Foggle on the Ford 50.
I don't think either.
You can't do it. But not in today's game. Sorry.
You need to have speed, don't you? Yes, definitely.
Yes,
you
do. Now, speaking of the Crows, our mate Kane is out of crack at Roo.
What's going on?
What's happened here?
What have you upset him for?
I haven't done anything.
Roo, you're always upsetting
him. Mate here, Ditz loaded me up one morning about Fisher McAsee, and I just said, as far as I know, there's nothing wrong, and he'll get a...
Will
contract
he get a contract
done in a month or so?
So why hasn't he re-signed when the other lads have...
It's in the so part
about
a month
now.
Or so.
Yeah. About 3 months
It's in the so part. It's about 5 weeks.
Do you think he's gone, Diggs?
Hopefully
he's
so goes Melbourne? For another
Are you hearing what
month?
I'm hearing? I thought it was very strange that a story like that would break in round one of a season. Mm. Someone was saying something clearly, whether it was his manager or somebody.
They love talking about the Crows. That's all it is. They love talking about it.
So you're saying that he'll be re-signed within the month?
I'm not saying that for sure, but I think he could. Are he you, could be.
Are you this concerned with the last three top ten picks that Adelaide have taken over there, where they're at, development wise?
He played right last year. He's struggling this year. He had a bad off season. Chase Jones is struggling. Yep. He was all right the week before, but he had a poor week last week, like a very poor week. Yeah.
Tilthorpe going all right.
I haven't watched him, but finding his way. But that was always going to be a bit of a slow burn, from what I've heard. What do you guys think?
I would have liked to see Tilthorpe get a opportunity.
He's coming back from missing a lot of footy with grinds, and they would have put him in an AFL side and cook
that's
him
fair.
Straight
that's
up.
Fair. Yeah,
so who would you put him in front of?
I just think I'd try and play him on a wing, up the ground a little bit.
If he got fully fit,
forwards.
Ready to go.
Yeah, so he's not fit then. That's the.
I think he's coming back from grinds, and they're working him over the summer to get him right before they chuck him in.
Yeah. Chase Jones, he's a concern for me.
Yep.
He's lost his confidence.
It must be confidence, I think, because he's done some good stuff before, but he's not doing it consistently at the moment. You'd want him to rip it to bits in the SNFL before
five
you
possessions
bring
on the weekend in the SNFL.
Did he really? Five.
I reckon if you're
on ball?
Whole game. On ball. Yeah. I just feel like at the SNFL level, if you're a top 10 pick, you'd be
thriving,
you'd have leather poisoning. Mm. You should.
Mate, if I was a 17-year-old...
I don't know if he's footy. If it's footy, he's got all the attributes.
He has, and he's done it before.
So it's something that's between the ears.
I don't know
there's
what it is.
There's something between the ears.
Well, they'll try and help him and try and get him right, and hopefully he can turn it around sooner rather than later. Mm.
Yeah, these kids thrive at Port Adelaide's environment. I just don't understand.
Is it the development at the footy club? I don't know. I'm not saying it is.
He's got a...
He's fired up. Say something, Joe.
Look at Butters and Dersmer.
I love your support of your
bloody
club,
you know I'm always there.
No,
you
you're not. You pot them all the time.
I'm a Port man now.
I thought you'd be back on the Melbourne wagon now they're doing all right.
Are you back on Melbourne?
Not really. I want to see him win a few more.
Well, I want to ask you about them. Let's move on to other clubs now. We'll get to Collingwood in just a moment, but now you've raised Melbourne. Are they really good, or have they played nobody?
Ask me Sunday, Ditz.
Ooh.
I want to see them play Richmond this Saturday night.
Yeah.
Big stage.
Nice.
This is where that footy club has let themselves and their supporters down in the past. So big test,
right-o.
And we'll see if they're up for it. Nathan Jones is 300.
What a
record for the club. Yeah, a club that's been around since 1858. Only one player has played 300 games.
Is it Robbie Flower?
David Neates. He played, I think, 300 exactly, I think, from memory.
No, 306.
306, is it?
Yeah, so, that's a surprising stat, isn't it?
The oldest club in the league.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Love
and
it.
And Adelaide have had four. There's a positive in a short
4-300.
Yeah, history, Jazz.
Give
talk
me
about that, Cloud, Jazz.
Rue, Ben
Edwards.
Hart, Goody.
Yeah. No, Edwards, not Goody.
Was it?
Oh. No, he's 270.
276.
I apologise.
All right.
Got another one wrong.
Get to know your club too, Jazz.
Nathan Buckley.
Right.
Surely this is the last
one
season.
1-4.
But you hear it's not only their record. You hear too many stories about the fractured change room, fractured club at the moment.
Is there a fractured change room, or is it just more the
media?
Hype? Or are you talking about their list management at the end of the year with the Treloar?
I think it's fractured what they did to Treloar.
Stevenson, he was a pick five or something. If they're developing or rebuilding, you don't get rid of them, do you?
Depends if what he's like. So, Rue,
I want to take you back to Nathan Buckley's performance on 360 during the week, where he's been accused from some circles of being just a bit of a smart aleck as well. He didn't react too kindly to some questioning, did he?
You say that. He was on Monday night. Tuesday night, Mark Robinson actually called him a smart ass a little bit, which, you know, Robbo doesn't pull any punches. I don't think there's any love lost between those two. He's certainly under pressure. We know Eddie McGuire was his greatest supporter. He's gone. You know, we've had the racism stuff, which if you're a coach for that period of time and a player, your whole journey and you're there, you're a part of it.
Yep.
But I'll get back to one thing. 2018, it took a left foot kick from the boundary line to cost him a premiership. He wins a premiership 3 years ago.
He'd still be there for life.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? One kick.
Like we love smash. Like we wanted to sack Goody before the year. Yeah. He's 5-0.
Now he's the best coach of the comp.
He's on the top of the ladder. Beveridge was getting spoken about like this 2 years ago.
Pike when he was coaching the Crows.
Bomber Thompson at Geelong.
It happened. Well, Damien Hardwick had to sack. He chose to sack all his assistants instead of him to keep his job, and now he's talked about as one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah,
I don't think Bucks is a bad coach, but how long do you persist with him in the current situation?
Still at Collingwood, $20,000 fine for getting your mobile phones out. How do you see that one, Bert?
Can you just explain?
I throw it to you as a lad that got into trouble.
No, I never.
So what do you do when you get to
But when you get to the ground, you have to hand your phones in. So I think it's off the back of betting. So you can't give any inside information. Well, it takes all risk away.
So that's all coaching betting. Staff, players.
Yep. Not coaches, because Leon Cameron had it in the box.
I think on game day, you can get exemption for, I think, 3 or 4 people. So it might be the footy manager. The coach might have it, because sometimes coaches do interviews on the phone, on the boundary line.
He had it sitting like right next to him in the box.
I saw it sitting there, but obviously didn't use it. But those boys, that's a no-no. I saw it live, and I was thinking, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But then they were saying, nah, they're out of the game, and they can't have any influence on the game. But it doesn't matter. Until that siren goes, you're not allowed to have your phone. So
that was one of the things Bucks was a bit smart about. Had concussion and that, but then – the other guy, Jared, said, well, we picked up the 2 phones out of the 22 and players.
And so handed it to Howie his. He knew what one Howie's was.
Yeah.
But you know what else he blames it on? The club's blaming it on his cap spend. I read in the paper today, not enough people there to police it. Now, if that's the reason they're getting in trouble, I should have used that a few. And, Rue, you could have used that a few times too.
I never got in trouble.
Never got caught.
Jared Whateley said last night that second offence should be $1 million fine. He thinks that if we dream that we are the only sport in the world where there's not match fixing or betting that could potentially change games coming up.
He is prone to dramatise just slightly.
$1 million.
Jared Whateley.
Well, he's trying to say if we don't think football is going to be involved in it, like, you think of it, tennis, soccer, rugby in Australia.
Yeah, it's cricket.
Cricket.
You can bet on...
Why is AFL...
Because when he starts talking about $1 million fines, I think common sense approach this week would have been, go and check the two lads, because didn't they say one was ringing a pregnant wife?
If he says, check my phone,
I just called my wife, she's pregnant, I'd say, good on you, mate, fair enough.
Did his knee last year too? Just wanted to clear up that correct. It wasn't my knee. You know, it looked
if you want to start talking $1 million fines, come on, ease up.
We're about to go here.
Well, same thing. If he's got a genuine excuse.
Can't they check their
phone? I know the policy says no phones. I understand it says no phones, but you're going to throw out $1 million fine because a lad rang his wife who's pregnant. Jared Whateley says a lot of silly things like that.
Yeah, he needs to pull
his head in. He dramatises a little bit. He wants the headline.
Yeah, he got
that. That is a stupid, ridiculous thing to say.
We don't want players going there every week, even if they're ringing their wife and stuff like that, though, do we?
No, but I think sometimes you can set a precedent. Sometimes the first person that gets caught, which is what we've just seen, sends a shockwave at you, go, okay, there's a little amnesty for us, all right? Next person that does this, we won't be so lenient next time.
I'm with you on that.
Howie just sent me a text. He might be listening.
There you go. Oh, but, Jarge, you haven't said anything. $1 million fine for
that? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I just want to know how it works, because in cricket, when they get to the game and they start of play, all their phones go in a case. It's locked up and they can't touch their phones until the finish of play.
Do you know what the penalty is if the cricketers get their phone out? It's something like 2 years they get suspended for. If you talk about $1 million fine,
yeah, but that's,
that cricket thing's a bigger fine than that.
You can fix cricket a lot easier, can't you? Because you can bet on what that ball is going to be.
But that's what he's saying. 2 years for a cricketer. What is that worth? $40 million.
But anyway. Burns just pointed out, I'm not splitting hairs here, but it is interesting that ball by ball, you and I, we've all been dismissed. We're sitting in the stands going, yep, this will happen next ball. We can send a message. Correct. Out on a footy field, you can't be getting your phone out of your sock and going, I'll tell you what, I'll miss this one and kick a point.
It's more about...
There is a bit of a difference,
I think, leading up to the game as well. You might find out that a centre-half back, Darcy Moore, no one might know. He's obviously a backman. He might be starting full forward. So you only find that out at the game. It's a late change or something.
First goal of the game.
That's why they take it away, because you're not going to go, oh, Darcy Moore's starting forward. He'd be paying $25
Shane Allen in the 97 cricket final started at full forward and kicked 5 goals. So there's a lot of talk about that.
Yeah. Only if punting was around there.
But anyway.
It was.
Well, was it?
Yes. And I was at the game.
Oh, so did you have a little wind, Ditch?
We had a flutter.
Well done, Ditch.
Did you really? Was it out and about that he was going to start forward?
I'll tell you the story off air, not on air, but you won't believe how it happened.
Oh, God.
You didn't know about
it. Wasn't you, Roo, did you?
You were playing.
There could be a fine coming.
I was crying in the stands.
All right. You were too.
And I was crying. I was pissed as doing special comments for Triple M on the boundary line.
I was in the commentary box with Tony McGuinness on the day, and he won't mind me saying, he had tears streaming down his eyes when they ran out onto the ground. Yeah, he was very emotional about it. Fair enough.
Watch me brother kick vibe.
Yep, too right. Hey, but getting back to Nathan Buckley, Ross Lyon, do we throw his name up as a potential?
Can I give you a name? Don Pike.
What?
Yep.
He's reinvented himself at Sydney, hasn't he?
Don Pike.
What do you mean reinvented?
Well, he's got the passion back to, for footy, and that he's loving his time coaching.
If Brett Ratton can do it, Don Pike can do it. So I'm throwing his name out.
Of course, Longmire talks him up big time in interviews I've seen.
He's turned the joint around.
Is Brett Ratton doing it?
What's that, Rupert? He's riddled with some injuries, isn't he, Rats?
Is that
fairness
what it is?
To him. Well, you know, if you haven't got your top six or seven players out there on a regular basis, you're going to be finding it hard to win a game of footy in today's game.
Mm. I've got a lot of good players playing.
All right.
I don't like the look of St Kilda.
So I'm throwing Don Pike. Anyone else? Ross Lyon? He's not going to coach again.
I think it'd want to be a big juicy one, but you're going straight into a fry pan going to coach Collingwood. Jumped out of the Frio one. So it's a big, big call.
All right, just on that though, Roo, coaches like Ross Lyon are very, very astute people and very clever. They go to a place in trouble, I reckon. You don't go to a place that's going well. You go to a place in trouble and you lift them. Then you're a hero.
He's a builder.
If you've got choices, of course you're going to go to a place where you can improve them. You don't want to go to a place that's about to go down. So are we saying that Collingwood...
But at the end of this season, it'd be probably one of the right clubs to go to.
Collingwood would be. Yeah, because Dacos kid is going to be the number one draft. They're going to get him for nothing. They've got some good kids there, but they've got some older players that are going to retire. So
anyway.
Limo, does it break your heart that you see Collingwood in trouble at the moment, or struggling at the moment?
It's just killing me, guys. I just can't sleep at night thinking about how that club is falling apart at the seams. Oh, my God. It is, it's one of the great joys in football, isn't it, seeing the Collingwood Football Club fall apart. And, gee, do you reckon is Eddie secretly loving watching this happening?
Don't know.
Is he? He would have moments where he'd go, see, I knew they'd fall apart without me. I knew this would happen. Back.
And apparently, I don't know what the rumours are in Melbourne. We're told, though, that it's very split down the middle there. It's like a civil war, they're saying, at the Collingwood Football Club. One mob are pushing for, I think, Jeff Brown to be the next president, and the other mob are pushing for someone else. And it's. Did you say Craig Kelly weighed into the debate, Roo?
Yeah, he did. He wants a bloke called Jeff Brown, who's former boss of Channel 9, to take over. He thinks he's the right man. So, look, we'll just see what happens. It's not a big deal for a lot of people, though, is it?
Here's a question for the journalists amongst us here, the ex-football journalists. I'm talking to the four of you. So Jeff Brown, president of Collingwood, his son Tom Brown, the number one newsbreaker in the game.
Is that
Tom Brown,
his son?
Tom Brown, Tom Brown, Tom Brown, his Tom son. Brown. Yes.
Really?
Oh, wouldn't that be a little bit of conflict of interest there at times?
Oh, and he gets a juicy story from Dad over the dinner table. Oh, will that make
Dad,
it into his
I'm
Twitter
coming
feed?
Around for a roast tonight.
Oh. Has been known to talk a bit of rhubarb, old Tommy Brown.
Let's move on to the Sydney Swans. I reckon they're a story this week as well. Injuries all of a sudden because they were playing great football.
Yeah, they have. They've got Buddy out for a month with a bone bruising. They've got Hickey out with a PCL for 3 months. They've got Rampy out. They've got Heaney out with a broken hand.
There you go.
That's four of their first pick. And Hickey's been in outstanding form. Well, he's gone under the radar a bit.
Well, that's why they had to get rid of Alirelia to get Hickey.
Yep.
They had no ruckman. They were desperate to get a ruckman. And
he's flying.
Risky call going after Hickey, I reckon. Fourth club.
Mm.
He's always ended
that's
up at
how desperate they were.
Well, he's been at a club where he's always been the second ruckman and with no club's not playing two
so
rucks.
So why has he thrived in that environment? Why is he thriving in this environment where the other three clubs he couldn't?
It's an interesting point.
He's
and that's interesting recruiting because they let Alirelia go, and every man knew that Alirelia is a good player. Mm. And but they had to give something decent to get him. But you wouldn't go, well, Hickey's a genuine gun ruckman. Let's get him. Mm. Would
but
you?
They had no other option, did they? Really?
No, they got very desperate.
Mm. All right, moving on. The biggest topic this week. Have you heard about this? The AFL has asked clubs to tell their players to stop spitting pickle juice onto the ground.
Yeah. What's pickle juice?
Tell me more. Why do you like it?
What's cramp? It's a juice.
Stops cramp. It does something.
Yeah.
And then they
back
your throat.
And then the boys spit on it.
Because you only have to gargle it for it to work.
Yeah.
And
is that
does
right?
help with cramp. So you gargle
like
and spit it out.
Don't like players
tastes
spitting.
Tastes like shit.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah, right.
You have to gargle it and spit it out.
Gargle it, because it does something in your throat to your receptors or something, I was reading.
And
I don't want to get too scientific.
Cramp. And someone told you that and you fell for that.
No, all clubs are doing it. So science has proven that.
Oh, bullshit.
It does, Ditch. You should try it.
They all do it. They all drink
it. Gargle Sav Bong so he doesn't cramp.
And that fixes everything. Mate, I like this rule. I don't like seeing players spit. And I tell you, spits too much.
They do it on the boundary line.
Craig Goodwin from Adelaide United, when I'm watching him, he's Mr. Spitter.
No, he can do what he wants.
Hey, come on, Jars. Back in the day, don't tell me that at least once you didn't take a knee at the quarter time huddle and have a leak.
You your head all the time.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I did. Oh, well, you can't spit. When our little Rupert had joined our team, we had to get into the huddle. We had to get a blanket around us because, our little boy took the knee.
That's why they got the sponsor banner.
It rolled out onto the ground while he was having a pee.
Got a horse saddle out.
Steve Irwin had to wrangle it back into his pants.
He did.
He said, "Roo, you got to be long. We got to get going.
Keep going. Keep telling everyone how big of." Old fella I've got.
Hey, I want to ask you, I want to bring up a soccer story, but I want to relate this to the world of AFL. What happened with the Super League earlier this week in Europe? Roo, JP Morgan were funding, I want to say
is
were, because it looks like it's
is
going
that
to
what
collapse.
JP Morgan
yeah,
are?
In New York. Finance. So they were putting up the money. Is this the future where, in Australia, we expect television companies to fund the sport, the TV rights?
Yeah.
From what you're hearing, and we know that Stan are now buying TV, though I know they're a TV company, but they're sort of, I guess, a little company that's going to, pay-per-view type stuff. Are we going to change in the world of football here in Australia?
I think more different places are putting money in, like Telstra put money in, Foxtel put money in, Fox Footy put money in. There's different avenues to get the revenue stream. But this JP Morgan thing, I think all they've done is going, right, I'm coming up with a concept, so a different league. This is who we're going to have. Then they would take it to the television station and the television station would say, if you can pull that off, we'll give you X amount of $1 billion. I think the television people are still funding it.
Yeah.
But JP Morgan are just setting it up and owning it.
Mm.
Just like the AFL own the AFL.
Mm.
That's all I think.
So the Super League,
I don't think the money's coming from
it. It's dead and buried because it would have been a civil war, wouldn't it? It would have been civil war, those six EPL clubs.
With the fans.
Mm. So it's officially now dumped.
That's what they're saying.
All six have pulled out.
All the English clubs are out.
Mm. Wow.
That's of 10 o'clock on Wednesday.
Gee.
It's going to be a pretty disappointing Super League if it goes ahead. There are like four teams in it.
Adelaide United could go in it.
Oh, there we go.
What are we thinking about the doubleheader at the Showdown, boys? You're loving that?
Oh, what a concept. Bring it back. Bring back the Rezzies.
I love it.
Yeah.
Really like it.
Does everyone here, what does everyone think about a national reserves competition?
100% in favour.
I
love
it.
It's
got to happen.
Yeah, but the funding as well for travel.
But it was going to happen.
It's actually not too bad,
isn't it?
Yeah, everyone's looking at it.
Well,
Let me say that.
Can I ask the West Adelaide former best and fairest in the under-19s?
Yes.
They had a lot of injuries that year.
I want to see clubs. I don't know how we can do this with drafts and things like that. I want to see us go back to every side in the AFL has a league side reserves and an under-19s.
Yeah.
Bring your own kids through, nurture them, train them. And you get picked up from wherever as a 17-year-old, and you train at that club. I wish we could go back to those days.
I would be 100% down with that. Then every club could have their own academy.
Yep.
And what you do is you start getting players younger and younger, which I don't have an issue with as long as you've got a decent academy in place, and you have it make it a national competition.
Yep.
I know the VFL has expanded out this year to include New South Wales and Queensland. Feels like a natural next step.
They've been talking about it. There's certainly a lot of positives with that. One of the greatest days of the year was when West Adelaide came up to the Riverland. Who used to come up to your joint?
Woodville West Tigers.
They'd come up. League footballers would come up. Yeah. You go up and you.
It's awesome.
And then they'd have the comps every June long weekend. Westies would either go to the Riverland or Riverland would go down. I like it too, Dids. I think it's fantastic. Mm. Whether they can do it with all 18 clubs and how do they split the country? I suppose they just split the country up. And
I'm wondering. Yeah,
it'd take a while to get it even.
I have thought a lot about this over time. I'm wondering if, because we go back to zones, don't we? That's how it used to work. You can only work because you had zones. But is it now just open slather? Like the way you have a draft now, what if every club went out and scoured the country and just approached kids and their parents and said, you know, you live in Kununurra, but we at the Crows at West Lakes would like to bring your kid over and put him in our
NRL. You'd have to have areas. NRL do
you'd
that.
You'd have to have areas, wouldn't you?
I think but the NRL NRL can sign a kid up pretty young, I think.
It doesn't matter where he's from.
No, there's no draft.
Just think about this without any warning here now, Roo. Mm. If we just said open slather, go and still do what you do now, recruiters. Watch every junior game in the country and then just go and approach kids and say, hey, we're from, you know, Adelaide. We'd love you to come and... Do you reckon kids are going to say
fair,
no?
Would that be fair, though? Would Collingwood get everyone? Because everyone wants to be in a good facility.
In the end... Collingwood have got their 20 kids in their under-18 squad, you can't have all of them. So it's going to filter down to other clubs.
Yeah, but you're not if North Melbourne come to a little Chris Dittmar, you're not going to go there in front of Collingwood, though,
If you get two offers.
Yeah, but if...
No, you're only going to get the 21st best kid. You're not going to get the first best
for a while. I still believe in time it will even itself out because you're right. At the moment, kids would go, I don't want to go to North Melbourne. But in 5 years' time, they'll improve because of drafts and salary cap and everything. And
but everyone wants to go to a big club, preferably, that they can. That's why they've got all this equalisation. I love the concept too, Dits. I love the fact if you can nurture them from kids all the way through, you'd try harder in your areas. Or at the moment, they haven't even got areas, so they're not even spending money. They've got academies, which Sydney have got. They're the only ones they do it the best. And then there's the other eastern states ones. But the academies for most of the clubs are sort of all for people that aren't even, you know, they're all for multicultural people.
Thinking the little Limos out there that were under 19 best and first. Yes. And he
scared outside wingman.
And there's a few rugged centre-half back, if you don't mind. But you look at they're always a step ahead, the European soccer leagues. How old was Lionel Messi when Real Madrid picked him up?
3 or something.
Yeah.
They sign kids that game.
Yeah.
Nike have put kids on million-dollar boot contracts who are 5.
Jeez. Trying to get Harvey one of them.
I like it, Ditz. I'm with you. I'd like to see the sample, say, on a day out, 16s, then the 18s, then the resis, then the seniors, then the women's league.
Country footy.
All playing the same day at Prospect Oval.
And you know what,
a day of footy.
I went one day, I've told you this.
Yes,
I was wrapped. You were coaching North against Port. I went into the change rooms afterwards, and you had a netball club in there. And the joint was packed.
Yes, we did.
You did the presentations of all the grades, then the netballers got up. I thought, how good's this? Burn, it was like going back to Stansbury, seriously. Mm. And I think we've got to think along those lines a little bit.
Love it, Dits.
Yeah, I think the wheels are in motion for the reserves comp.
Good. That's good. I can quote you on that.
No.
Okay.
I'm just quote Limo.
Feel free to quote me. Hey, Roo, will people start whinging about the quality of the ground? Will they say it'll get churned up with 2 games before
four games. You can play, but you have to stay outside the centre square.
put ropes around it,
One of the highlights on Friday night footy for mine, guys. Did you see when the camera panned up to the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, in the crowd, and 50,000 people booed him at Perth Stadium?
Disrespectful.
Would you ever go to a sporting event if you're a Prime Minister? You're just not going to come out of it with a cheer, are you?
No.
No.
Don't think so.
No. So why'd they boo him, Limo?
Well, hard to know. Is it because of what he said recently about women? Is it because of what he said about Western Australians? Or is it because of the bungled vaccine rollout? Who knows why they were booing him?
There's a few,
thousand things to choose from.
Yeah. I reckon if you were the Labor Prime Minister and you went to Albert and Oval in the 70s, you probably didn't get, you probably got a few applause then, I think.
I reckon you might. Actually, I'll give you the one example where a leader was cheered in recent times. Yeah. In 2019, Donald Trump went to a college football match in Alabama and was cheered
the
by
deep everyone. South.
I think the people he wanted to boo were scared they might be in the crosshairs, literally.
Actually, I've got another good example. You had to see it. You had to be there to see it. But I was in the Beijing Olympics in whatever year that was, 2008.
What event were you in?
I was at the basketball.
Oh, he's getting ready to you're in it. He's getting ready to call taekwondo.
When you're in a communist country and the emperor walks in, I'll tell you what, there was no booing going on that day. They were all on the same side that day. They cheered and cheered and cheered. Standing ovation. And they all just burst into singing the national anthem without warning.
Bob Hawke, when he sculled that beer.
He's about the only one who gets a cheer.
Yeah, because he's sculling a frothy.
Yeah.
Morrison didn't scull.
Yeah, but if he tried to scull, he'd spill it anyway, wouldn't he?
When you were doing the Olympic Games, did you go to the village after?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, too ugly. I wanted to get in, and they turned me away at the gate.
Oh, there's a minimum standard.
Is that? Yeah.
He didn't have a packet
they do.
Of
there's a bloke stands. He looks. He goes, you can come in. I get it. Like, you can't come in. Then they go, yeah, and you can come in.
Pull your shirt up because you look at your six pack. Oh, no, you don't have one here.
Full of ding dongs.
I said, I'm not an athlete. I'm just video. They said, we know that.
we can tell.
Can see that.
Did stood out like a toolie at school.
I'm here for the wrestling.
Yeah, the hammer throw, mate. You got the hammer throw.
Well, you're a toolie.
Roman Greco, I said. And they said, no, you're even too fat for that.
And how many frangers did they go through in the village, do you know?
Frangadangers.
Quite a few.
No, I don't think
what did you say?
Pallets.
Yeah.
My mate's got a supermarket in Sydney. Yeah, and when the gay Mardi Gras on, they go through a fair few. Plenty.
Yeah, right.
I didn't really want to
I've
go
I've never
there,
used them, so I don't know what you're talking about. You've got to go.
The edge
you've
of the
got to be safe.
Right. See you next week.
I think it's fair to say the bump is finished for this week.